listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it's written for you. Believe in His promises, God cannot fail. For what He has said, He will do. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Revival is reacquainting ourselves with the presence and the power of God and releasing those gifts as the Holy Spirit moves us to do so. Oh, part of membership, which we haven't talked about membership in a long time, part of membership, at least with us, is to do a little study in the Word of God to help us understand maybe where our giftings might be. But let me tell you something. Your giftings cannot be hidden. If you are full of the Holy Spirit and give Him opportunity to use you. I was sitting with a doctor a few years ago, medical doctor, talking about healing, talking about how he lays hands on his patients and prays for them. And that's powerful. And I asked him the question, I said, doctor, do you think it's possible that here you have this passion to see people in good health? Do you believe it's possible that maybe God has anointed you with a supernatural anointing for healing so you're not just working out of your brain and your hands and a textbook or a computer, but you're also being moved by the Holy Spirit to lay hands on and call forth life and resurrection power? I definitely believe that's the case. I love it. In some areas when there's revival, the medical doctors get mad. I mean, in some communities, you read about revivals, you read about revivals. I've read of revivals where there wasn't anyone in the hospital. That would really mess up the economy, wouldn't it? I mean, can you imagine? Cleveland Clinic not having one patient. Lawnwood not having a patient. Can you imagine all of the clinics on the side of the road being empty? Can you imagine and believe and understand that there were days when Jesus ministered where the Word says everyone was healed? I know someone's going to say, but that was Jesus and that was 2,000 years ago and you know, Pastor, you don't really believe something like that could happen today, do you? Yes! Yes. Yes. You remember when Jesus talked to His disciples, He would say, oh, ye of little faith. You have not because you ask not. How long am I going to be with you? How long am I going to be here to challenge your faith? And even after the resurrection, we find toward the end of his discussion where Jesus is speaking to them and challenging them for not believing the witness that came that he rose from the dead. The disciples didn't believe it. Should I be shocked that many churched Americans do not believe that God will ever do anything like that again? The disciples questioned it in their day. Remember Jesus saying to the disciples when they questioned him, this fig tree, that was yesterday. It's already drying up. What an amazing thing. And Jesus said, if you have faith, if you have faith, not the size of Benny Hinn's or the size of Billy Graham or the size of Reinhard Bonnke or the size of, you put anybody's name in there, not the size of their faith. Jesus didn't say, if you have faith the size of my faith. Many in the church today want to deny and destroy the potential of God being a God of miracles by saying we do not have the measure of faith that Jesus had. Jesus never said, unless you have the measure of faith that I have. Jesus said, if you have faith as of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, we in the church need revival because we have become worldly instead of godly. And we have become professionals in medical science and every other science, and we have become ignorant in regards to faith and the Word of God. Oh my. Well, human body, verse 12, has many parts. Hello? My wife is showing me her toenail. Now, you ladies know how important a toenail is, right? Now, you men may not appreciate this, and you may not show off your toenails. But you ladies paint your toenails and they're important. And if you have somebody stomp on yours and you lose it, it turns black and big and comes off. You realize that's part of my body. Part of my body. Rachel was sharing how a door or something caught her toenail and just popped it loose about halfway. It's a little part, right? Next time I show off my toenails to all of you, we'll probably be at a baptism. So I'm really not into that, okay? I mean, I don't do that a lot. But you know what? If somebody stomps on your foot and you are losing your toenail, it's a part of your body that maybe no one else is going to see most of the time, but you surely know it's there. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one body. One body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews and some are Gentiles, right? Some are slaves and some are free. We could add a lot of things there, couldn't we? Some are rich and some are poor. Some are tall and some are short. Some are skinny, some are, I'm not going to say it, fluffy. Some are fluffy. Amen. We had one dear lady, honey, that used to say, I want you to know that I am the temple of the living God, and some of his temples he made into great cathedrals. So do not underestimate the value of my size. You know who that was, honey. If I live to be 100, I can tell more stories about you. Because once you're home, I can tell more stories. This is one thing pastors who move from church to church, they can carry stories from previous churches. But we're blessed to be here. So someone said to the preacher, why do you tell so much about yourself and your own family? And he said, well, when you give me permission to start telling what I know about you, I will start using you as an illustration. Hello? I guess I could say, can I get a witness? Help me out, Ruddy. Help me out. Is there a witness in the house? Come on. Hallelujah. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. Thus forth the argument goes on. But verse 18, God made our bodies with many parts, and he has put each part, verse 18, he has put each part just where he wants it. That's called intelligent design. Intelligent design. He has put us just where he gifted us. He works in and through our lives in different ways, and then he connects us with each other in a unique way, just where we can be. No, it's not a pain. My dear brother who introduced himself and said, I am the armpit of the body of Christ. I've only met one who identified himself as the armpit. And I've been in ministry a long time. Everybody has an armpit. Almost everybody has an armpit. You might have more than one armpit. And he said, I'm the armpit of the body of Christ. He said, sooner or later, you will catch the smell. And I did. And I agree that he is the armpit, the body of Christ. He's my brother. He's needed. He's been a great pain. God puts us so we can be connected so that what can be seen? The gift and the spirit that God has given so God can be glorified through our lives. In fact, some of the parts that seem weakest, verse 22, least important are really the most necessary. Parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect from the eyes of others those parts that should not be seen, while other parts do not require this special care. Look at verse 25. This makes for harmony. Say harmony. Among the members. In other words, as small as the toenail is, when it's coming off and you're swollen, you feel it. Because there's an injury there. And the working of the Holy Spirit is to work in such a way that when we are connected as God has placed us, that our different gifts actually minister strength and life and harmony. Ever watched an orchestra? The maestro's up there doing whatever they do. Maybe with the stick. Right? And maybe on occasion they'll go, "Why? It's your turn. Step up, gift. Go." Or maybe they'll go, "Hey, Chris, it's your turn." Yesterday, I'm watching these guys work. It was such an encouragement to me. I know you're going to say, "Yeah, you left early." I did. I left early. But before I left early, it was an encouragement to me, okay? Because it looked nothing like a government job. The church looks too much like a government job. Oh, you don't understand that. Maybe you work for the government. Don't take it personal. North Carolina, the government's putting in the road. They have a big allocation of funds. They put it out for bid, and then they developed the budget and said, "We can do this ourselves." My father always enjoyed watching people work. And we would pass them on the road, and here's one leaning on a shovel. Here was another over here with a cup of coffee. Then there were a couple guys over there next to a tractor. I'm not sure what they were doing with that. They were just kind of standing there. And so, you know, we had some business, went and did our business. We came back, and when we came back, we found out that there were still shovel holders. They changed hands. This is called working together. I was doing nothing before. Now you can do nothing. So, you know, they were rotating their shovels. And we're watching it like, I don't think they're ever going to get this road built. And Dad said, "I'm not going to live long enough for them to get this road built." And they stood and held shovels until the whole budget was spent. And now the road is not finished. It's a mess. All kinds of things are halfway done. And so the county said, "Well, I think we're going to have to hire those contractors that gave us the bid in the first place." What's the difference? The contractor... I know, I work for a contractor. My job was to make sure everyone was working. That was my job. My job was to make sure we'd have 18 to 20 jobs going on. There better not be any carpenter standing around because he didn't get his delivery of lumber. And there better not be a draw that we can't apply for by Friday because somebody didn't get the work completed and get the inspection called in. And I remember one time telling a boss about my problems. He'd call me in. "How are things going?" And I had a whole list of problems. And he listened about 1 minute and he said, "I hired you to take care of them. If the day has come that you're not able to take care of my problems, I don't need you anymore." Huh. So I changed my strategies in meeting with the boss. I decided I'm going to talk to the boss about solutions that might cost money. See, the problems were going to cost money, but he wanted solutions. In the body of Christ, there's too many sitting around in the grandstands instead of playing on the field. And revival stirs people up. And when there's a revival and some guy that's been blind, who does he think he is to be shouting in the temple when we have service to have here? Yeah. We can't have that. We can't have miracles that mess up our schedule. We practice. We know exactly what we're going to do. No, revival elevates the gifts in the Holy Spirit and lifts Jesus up. And the body of Christ becomes participants. And it becomes a team on the field instead of a government job where we're all watching. Wake me up, Pastor. You better be on fire this morning because God knows I surely am not. Pastor, I come with all my problems. I've come here to talk about the problems I've had. God's called us to come prepared. Revelation is a book about a man who says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What he's saying is, I moved away from my other incidental activities and I made it a priority to be tuned in to what the Holy Spirit was saying and ready to do. And thus I became one who received and one who can speak for God. Thus we have the book of Revelation. I definitely did not get started with the message today. But the message is, do not let the fire go out. Don't let the fire go out. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Because it's real important. There was fire that was on the altar where the sacrifices were brought. The priest were to make sure that the fire never went out. That's my job. Job running. The job of the priest is to fuel the fire. What does the fire represent? Represents the Spirit of God. Pentecost. Pentecost. Not time this morning to go into it. But God brought the fire down from heaven and ignited what was on His altar. It was not to be lit with the Boy Scout. That's the wrong fire. It's not to be lit. Oh, let me tell you about my giftings and who I know and what I've done and I'm the grand poopah. That's fleshly fire. No. Fire came from heaven. And there was fire in more than one place. There's fire on the altar. But we're also going to see that there's fire in the candelabra. The fire on the altar is to consume. The fire in the candelabra, the menorah, the fire that is in the almond-shaped vessels, that fire is to project light so the fire that's on the altar is to become the fire that ignites the witness of the church. Witness of the church, according to Acts chapter 1, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be lighthouses. Witnesses. Witnesses. You won't be the light. You will be witnesses to the light. What happens on the altar Where the fire falls, what's happening inside the church is to be coming forth as the light that's to go into the world and reach and touch people's lives and give them revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Praise God. Let's bring our communion. Let's break bread this morning together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, it's so good to be in your house. It's so good to be your children. So good, Father, be King's kids. Father, I thank you for giving us a Pentecost. Pentecost is where the fire of heaven came down and ignited each person who was in one accord with the will and the purpose of God. They were in that upper room, they're praying, they're seeking God, and the Word tells us that they were of one accord. In other words, the body had taken on, it had taken on the expression, had got connected with one another. The giftings that the Holy Spirit gives had connected, and the body was able to represent who God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit is. It came into one accord. Hallelujah. And on the day of Pentecost, they're in one accord. And the wind is blowing. And the fire is falling. It's sort of like that day in the temple. In the temple when the presence of God came. And there was a bolt from the throne of God that ignited the altar. Pentecost is heaven sent. It's given by the Father. It's the gift of the Father. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the fire. It's the wind. It's the tongues. The language of heaven. It's the body of Christ coming into agreement with God. And becoming a functioning body of believers. Who had church in that upper room. But what happened in that upper room was not to be contained in the upper room. It was to be released. The wind was to go out of those doors. The fire was to go to the marketplace. The heavenly language was to penetrate hearts of stone and awaken them to the presence and love of God the Father.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."